Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. It's Tuesday, December 11th, 2012. It's almost Christmas, and we've got our Christmas gifts in the studio. We got a surprise guest. We got Leo from Birra del Borgo in Italy, a good friend. It's so great to see you. We got Chris Schoenberger and Ross from Complex and First We Feast. They're going to talk to you about some of the best lists of beer that they've put together. And a few other guests later today, including Patrick Rue from the brewery, will be calling in. And just give a shout out to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. Thanks so much again for sponsoring us. Check out the Beer Cloud to learn more about good beer and where to find it. All right, we've got a quick call in on air. Nico Kremidis, great Long Island beer writer, he wants to tell us about some Sandy reliefs that some of the Long Island breweries have organized. Nico, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Jimmy? How are you?
Good, buddy. We got a tight show tonight, so tell us about the Sandy relief effort that you guys are behind.
Sandy relief by 8 Long Island breweries and Blue Point, Barrier, Blind Bat, Spider Bite, Port Jeff, Greenport, and Great South Bay. And it's to raise money for Long Island Cares, which is a food bank on Long Island, and also for Barrier Brewing Company, who I know you're friends with, who, you know, were hurt pretty badly by Hurricane Sandy. So we brewed a beer called Surge Protector on December 4th. And we're going to donate everything to Long Island Cares and Barrier.
Well, that's really awesome. And thanks so much for organizing that. Is there a link or anything else that we can share with our listeners?
Yeah, it's sandyreliefbeer.com, and you can also find us on Twitter at sandyreliefbeer. We just released our first video on the project where me and Matt Furman, who's a photographer in New York, were basically documenting the whole project through photography, so you can check that out at sandyreliefbeer.com.
Well, thanks so much, Nico. You're welcome to stay on the line if you'd like. I'm going to give a little intro. Last week we had a show about contract brewing, and you know, we tried to share as many opinions as we could, those using contract brewing, those who are gypsy brewers, and the real guys that are actually making their own beer. And what's really special about the show tonight is first thinking of our friends like Barrier, who are real brewers with their own brewery. You know, they're fighting to reopen. But we've got Leo and from Birra del Borgo. Michael, give us a quick introduction, because Michael Opalensky from Be United, tell us a little bit about Leo and the beers that we're drinking today.
Leo comes from the brewery Birra del Borgo. They are from the Lazio region in central Italy. We've been importing them now since 2008, I believe.
Yeah.
The brewery instead opened, when did you guys open up, 2003?
We opened in 2005.
Okay.
Yeah, we opened in 2005, and the brewery is just not so far from Rome, because we are 1 hour driving east of Rome in the mountains area, and we opened the brewery like a passion, like an hobby, and then we started.
So I know one of your most popular beers in Italy is the Reale, and what we're drinking right now is the Reale Extra, which we do import into the United States. It's available usually in bottles. Occasionally, you're bringing it on draft. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this beer?
Okay, yeah. We decided, when we opened the brewery, we decided to brew like different beers in respect to what we were finding in Italy in that time. And so our main inspiration was about the craft American beers, so we decided to make some experimentation with the use of a huge amount of hops, but at the same time we decided also to go and to experiment with an Italian way of brewing, so to make combination of Italian ingredients, things, and also the wine techniques or the wine fusion coming from the wine world.
That's a great little intro. We're going to talk more to you, and we also have Patrick Rue from the brewery coming on a little bit, but I also want to introduce Chris and Ross from Complex.com. You guys put together two really great beer lists this week. Tell us about them, because I know that Birra del Borgo was on one of them.
Yes, Birra del Borgo was on the list that Ross put together on Complex.com. which was called The 100 Beers to Try Before You Die. I think there were even maybe multiple beers from him, or was it just the Real?
It was just the Real. That was the one that made the
Was a really great list. I mean, how did you guys get that crew together? I mean, you had B.R. Royer from Shelton, you got Justin Phillips from Beer Table. You had some really great people contributing.
Yeah, we had Wendy Littlefield and a number of other people. It came out of a conversation that Chris and I had. I'd wanted to put together a list with that headline because it was too good of a headline to pass up.
What is it again?
100 Beers to Try Before You Die. And I started talking to Chris about the logistics of putting it together. And as I recall, he suggested that I reach out to a number of people and get picks rather than try and put it together ourselves, which would have just been too daunting, and it would have ended up skewing too much towards our own individual tastes. So we figured if we spread it out, got some expert opinions, people with different taste profiles, we could put together a really diverse list.
I know, Nico, I know that three of the barrier beers were on that list. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, there were a number of the barrier beers on there. The Bulkhead was on there. I got the list in front of me right now. Bulkhead, Green Room, and Dune Grass, all three of those were there.
Awesome. And Chris? And is it exciting to be here? You had your list, and now we're here with Leo from Beardo del Borgo.
Yeah, and so...
We just lost Nico.
It was really cool that Ross put out that list, and just for really brief background, Complex is a big website, and they have a magazine. And First We Feast is a new food site that's under the Complex Media banner that I'm doing. And so we did a more sort of patriotic take on the same theme and did the best single beer from every state. And so for these to come out at basically the same time, first of all, gives you like 151 beers that you should be drinking as soon as possible. But the goal with the United States of Beer, as we called it, was to really give a representation of what's that one beer from every state that really speaks to the brewing heritage or style of that state. So like a place like Mississippi, I have no concept of. None of those beers make it out here. Those Bible Belt laws have kept them from really brewing a lot of interesting beers for a long time. But you've still got people who are on the cusp and starting to do interesting things with local ingredients like southern pecans, things like that. Then you've got your really robust states, which are the ones that got everyone fired up who read the list and pissed off, you know, Michigan, California, Pennsylvania, where...
What was your pick from Michigan? Tell us, so Michigan, what was the pick? We'll do a couple states.
So Michigan was one of the most controversial ones for sure. It was Jolly Pumpkin La Roja. I know you're a Jolly Pumpkin fan.
Yeah.
But that's coming from a state where you also have a brewery like Founders, you know.
Dark Horse.
The Breakfast Stout, things like that, that really have these cultish followings. In California, I think it was Pliny the Elder. You know, so that. In a state like California, I think you have to think about they've really been leading the charge for so long. So that was basically the foundational double IPA. So that's why we picked it for there. But the people behind the list were Josh Bernstein, who's been on the show many times. He wrote Brood Awakening. He's kind of traveled the entire nation looking for great beers. Chris O'Leary of Brew York, New York. Who's got great knowledge of the Northeast and also kind of seems to travel exclusively in search of beer, as far as I can tell from his Instagram feed. And then a beer writer out of Atlanta who goes by Ale Sharpton, just one of the better blogger names I've seen. And he's got a blog called Cruisin' for Bruisin'. So we tried to get people with real regional specialties, and you were never going to pick.
Okay, so who won from Georgia?
Georgia...
Chris, you're supposed to know this.
It was Sweetwater, but it was from their Dank Tank series, which is kind of their experimental brew series. So their most recent one was the Gimp. They're kind of like all over 10 ABV beers. This one's the barley wine. But, you know, I think if this list had been done 10 years ago, it would have been a lot of IPAs. But looking at this, I wish I had crunched the numbers on the styles, but it's a ton of saisons, a ton of beers that are under 6% ABV. It just kind of speaks to the fact that American brewing is incredibly diverse at the moment.
Well, you guys have scooped everybody. It's the end of the year, and you're coming up with the best of lists. And
it's that time of year.
We're going to go back to Birra del Borgo. Like I said, last week we had a show about contract brewing, and it's so great to be with someone who really is a brewer and has his own brewery. So when you first got started, I know that you traveled a little bit. You wanted to learn the other brewing, you know, cultures, Belgium and Germany. What were some of your first inspirations that made you want to brew?
Okay, but imagine that in Italy, brewing is a pretty new tradition because, for example, we have a great tradition about the wine culture, and the beer culture is pretty nothing. And so at the beginning, all the Italian breweries, now imagine that there are more than 500 breweries, were just looking to the traditional North European culture, so about British beers, British ales, obviously, or German beers or Belgian beers. And so it's like our first idea, for example, was just to make an infusion between these kind of styles. So much of our big inspiration was from the British ales and the Belgian beers. But after that, I can say that now also in Italy, but what's happened to us, but also to other breweries, there is new interesting culture because we are trying to just put the Italian way of brewing. So, for example, we have a lot of things going to around the wine world or the use of special typical Italian ingredients. Or to use a very, very different way of fermentation of the beer. So that's pretty nice because you can give a great diversity using many different ingredients and using a lot of different yeast, local yeast from Italy that can give a special character to the beer. That's really interesting.
And Ross, I know this was on the list of the 100 beers to drink before you die, the Birra del Borgo Real. What do you think about this beer?
I think it's fantastic. This was a beer that I think you had suggested I include because I actually hadn't tried it yet. This is my first time trying it, and it's fantastic. I like how light it is, but it's still flavorful. It's not, the alcohol is not overpowering. It's great.
Well, and you know, in this little community of Be United Imports, you know, Justin Phillips of Beer Table, he's really on a high pedestal in New York. He seems to be functioning as if he's a wine sommelier and not your typical pub owner. And I know he was one of your experts. And Michael at Be United, tell us what it's like working with Justin and Beer Table, because he's just got such impeccable taste in beer and seems to have many of your beers on his list.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was actually an ex-employee of ours after he opened Beer Table after working for Be United. He's great with working with him. He's always open to trying new stuff. Is a really great palate. The Beer Table in general is a really awesome account. What he does with pairing beers with foods and just how he's designed his beer menu, I think, is really unique and well done.
That's great. Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been there several times, yes.
Yeah, and what are some things that you've done? Does he just feature some of your beers? Have you done any tastings there?
Yeah, we made a tasting about 3 years ago, if I remember well, and was pretty nice because you find that there is great people where can understand how to pair the beer and also to explain also the different beers, for example, Italian beers or also Belgian or UK traditional beers. So very, very interesting place where to go. Yeah.
That's great. Let's open one more beer before the break.
Sure.
What's the next beer?
The next one we're going to try is the Mai Antonia. It's actually a collaboration between the Del Borgo Brewery and the Dogfish Head Brewery in Delaware.
And where did you make it, Leo?
Yes.
In Delaware?
That's nice. No, we made that in Italy first time, and it was nice because we have a great friendship with Sam from Dogfish, and he came in Italy 4 years ago for the Salone del Gusto in Turin, and I decided, just joking email, and I said, why don't you... when we make a beer together. He said yes, but we had a problem with his wife, because with Mariah, because they were just for a holiday, so it was a little bit of treating on it, but we enjoyed, and we made this kind of different pilsner, because we decided to make a traditional pilsner, but higher in alcohol, so 7.5 in alcohol, and we use the hop continuously, like Sam does normally, and we use three different hops. There were just one European hop and two American hops, and then was dry hopped as well with a blend of Bohemian hop and Sats, obviously, and water. So that's pretty nice, and so we brew that beer mainly for the for Europe, and Sam is brewing for mainly for United States. So that's nice.
Well, this is great. Well, listen, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes, and Patrick Rue from the brewery is going to join us on Beer Sessions Radio.
You're listening to Favorite Flower by Pamela Royal on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. If you're not a member yet, go to heritageradionetwork.org and join up. I'm a member. I think I'm member 551. I think it really means I'm member one or two. I joined up right away, and I'm really proud to be part of the Heritage Radio Network. There's so many great shows. Ann Saxby had a baby, Patrick Martins and Ann Saxby. Congratulations. It seems like two show hosts got married. Patrick Martins and Ann Saxby. Now they have a beautiful little boy, Max. All right. So here we are on out here in Roberta's. It's amazing group here. I can't even think of the talent in this room. I got Leo from Beardo del Borgo, Michael from Be United, Chris and Ross from Complex.com, and Tony Forder just walked in from Ale Street News.
Hi, folks. It was a bit of a commute from the other side of the river there.
Yeah, you did. We've got a calling guest, Patrick Rue from the brewery. Patrick, how are you?
Doing great. How about you?
Great. We got a special room. Leo from Beardo del Borgo, a great little Italian brewery is here. And a couple of journalists, Tony Forder from Ale Street News, and Chris Schoenberger and Ross from Complex.com. So how you doing, man? You've got a very special operation out there. We've been talking about how, so many people are talking about contract brewing, but we really want to bring it back to, small brewers who are really hands-on like you are. I know that you're doing a lot of sour beers. You've been inspired. You had a great list of inspiration that I read. Russian River, Cantillon, Rodenbach, New Belgium, and Cascade. How did you guys get started? What was the first time you brewed?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to mention I have Tyler King here as well. He's our director of brewing operations genius around here. So we started up 4.5 years ago in Orange County, California. I started off as a home brewer doing it in law school. And once I graduated, I didn't know what to do. I wasn't a very good law student, so I'd be a really bad lawyer. And decided to cut my losses and put a bunch of money into a brewery and hopefully not lose my service.
All right. Well, you seem to always favorite sour beers. You guys are wild, I can hardly hear you. And, things like that. I don't know if you can hear me, but we're going to talk a little bit. What's Batch 1000? I know you do a lot of homebrew competitions, and you work really actively with that community. What's the Batch 1000 competition?
So we're strong supporters of homebrewing. And, from our first batch of beer was actually done by a homebrew contest that we had. Basically, because if we were going to screw up on a batch of beer, we wanted it to be somebody else's beer, not ours. Just kidding. Batch 1000, we keep that tradition going for our 1000th batch, which, is a pretty big milestone for us. We are going to have a homebrew contest. We expect several hundred entries and kind of keep it the categories that we have styles of beer that we would actually make ourselves. So kind of the stronger, Belgian style, imperial stouts, things that are kind of fit into what we do.
But are you guys usually, can you hear me? Do you usually steer towards doing sour beers? You know, I don't think I can hear Tyler at all, so
our connection's
not that good.
I'm here.
You're awesome, Tyler. All right. Well, I think we're going to have to just keep talking. Well, anyways, we'll keep talking about what we're doing. I know you guys do have a wood cellar, man, and there's some tie-ins here. Leo, I don't know if you can imagine this brewery. It's out in Orange County, California. They have a dedicated wood cellar, man. They're doing sour beers a lot. Do you do anything like that with sour beers?
Yeah, we're making now different sour beers, and one of them is it's nice because it's a blend between the Lambic from Cantillon and one hour Duquesa. It's called Duquesic. It's just really, really interesting because you have the character of the Lambic and at the same time also the gentle nose coming from our Saison spelled beer. So that's nice. And we use now also a lot of different containers, different fermenting. So, for example, we use big 30 liters barrel in wood. And we use the barrique for French barrique from the wine, and we use also terracotta for us. For example, one of our beer we have together, it's just another collaboration with Sam and their Italian microbrewery, it's Baladin, and we made this kind of ancient beverage, was fermented, we fermented inside the terracotta amphoras. So that's nice because terracotta amphoras is normally used now in wines, and it's very, very old kind of vessel, but at the same time gives special character to the beer, give a lot of sourness character, a lot of great oxidation. I mean great oxidation because the exchange of oxygen inside the terracotta, it's something really, really incredible. And at the same time, you have also some fermentation coming from wild yeast. So obviously, you have a very, very interesting character on it.
Great. Patrick, can you hear us?
I can hear you well, yep.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that you guys can meet one day. Are you familiar with the Italian craft beer scene?
No, I couldn't hear that.
Okay.
You know, when I was back on a landline, what do you think?
All right. We'll just keep talking. Okay. I hope that you guys can meet one day because I don't know if there's been any collaborations between Italian brewers and California brewers, but it's definitely the essence of the spirit. All right. Let's just give a cheers because this is such good beer that we're drinking. We're drinking Leo's Birra del Borgo. And thanks for calling in, Patrick. Thanks so much. All right. So, Tony, you came back from Salone del Gusto.
Yes, I was out there for the Slow Food Festival, my first time at the event, and it is quite an eye opener in terms of all the well, you can read about it in L Street News, the recent issue, but the availability of pretty much anything you can put into your stomach in terms of food, beverage, you know, from wine, beer. There were approximately 50 Italian brewers there this year. The Americans have participated in the past, but there were just a couple. Charlie Papagian, the president of the Brewers Association, was there giving some lectures, and Sam Colicioni from Dogfish Head.
So what do you think of the Italian craft beer scene?
Well, I was in Italy, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's just, I mean, it's just mushroomed. It's just gone into a whole another gear. I believe, I'm told there's over 500 microbreweries in Italy now, so... you know, it really is. And the area where, you know, Leo's from down near Rome, I guess, right? But the area of Piedmont where the Salone del Gusto was held in Torino is pretty fertile area for breweries these days in addition to the wineries that are there.
Well, Leo, last time I met you in the spring, you were with a friend, Moreno?
Yes.
Yeah, is he part of a different brewery?
Yes, it's Moreno. It's from L'Olmaia. L'Olmaia, it's a very nice brewery. This is set in Tuscany, near Montepulciano, another wine area, important wine area in Italy. And he makes very, very interesting beers. They are mainly, mainly found on the tradition of making with different cereals coming from the area. At the same time, also he makes also fermentation with some kind of yeast in the area. So that's
It was a very cool day, very much like today. It was in the spring. I think Michael brought you. It was Leo and Marino, these two Italian brewers out of the blue. And that night we had a dinner with Stefan from Mars. And one night, I think, or was it the Nongnio guys, maybe?
Yes.
And one night, I think we had four brewers from four different countries in one room, and it was pretty amazing. So I feel like we're friends for life. And now you get to meet Chris and Ross, because these guys are really making a difference in beer. I mean, you guys are doing these amazing lists. And I'm just so impressed that Beer Del Borgo turned up on your list. And I'm trying to make a conversation here.
Yeah, I mean, we don't do anything. We just drink the beers and try to tell people about them. These are the guys who make interesting stuff. But kind of the goal with, you know, making lists, it's like you can't say what's the best. It's kind of an absurd proposition, but just to create context. So someone who might be familiar with some beers that have made it east from California or vice versa now can look at that there's interesting beers being made in Alabama and Minnesota and everywhere. And it's just an easy entry point and a way to contextualize the styles of American beers that are becoming popular and seeing how the landscape has shifted. But I'd be interested to hear a little bit about the culture of drinking beer in Italy. And, you know, I think here, especially in New York City, a lot of it is built around places like Jimmy's spot. You know, they call themselves beer bars, and the people who go there kind of often know what they're looking for. It's expanding beyond that, especially as the local food and drink movement gets more and more popular. Like, you can go to your local corner bar that's not even a great bar, it's a bit of a dive, but they might have five local beers. But the scene, I would say, centers around these bars that are very focused on people finding good beer. Is that the case in Italy? Is it built around food, or is it built around restaurants?
Okay, in Italy, I think you have both of them. I mean, for example, you have a lot of now, especially, for example, in the big cities, I mean, Rome, Milan, you have a lot of beer bars that are mainly focused on beers. But I can say that it's important for the Italian to drink, but also to eat food. So Tony saw that in Salone del Gusto you have a lot of food and a lot of food pairing. And I think it's an important thing because the Italian gastronomy and also the Italian way of cooking is mainly focused on pairing with wine. And pairing with beer, it's like very new stuff, but at the same time, it's very incredible what you can do. And that's important for the emerging of the beer culture in Italy. So imagine that about, I think, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, there was like nothing to find. It was very, very difficult to find craft beers in Italy. And now, if you go to the main restaurants, to the Michelin star restaurants, for example, you can find also, you can pair also the food with great Italian beers. So that's really important. But also in the normal places, you can just share with craft Italian beers and also other beers.
Michael, what's the last beer you just poured for us?
Could I pipe in this discussion before we talk about this last beer? I think the note that Leo made is also very important if we take a step back and look at the breweries in general. So if you consider that Italian culture in general is thinking about the food that they're making and how it pairs with wine, the brewer's approach is similar, trying to brew beers that bring good elements and match well with different foods. So you have this new creative angle to brewing, which I think has led to a lot of different styles of beers coming from Italy. I mean, what's coming out of there is what I think one of the most exciting beer movements that's going on in the world today, for sure.
And Tony, you want to read something from Salone del Gusto?
Yeah, this was just a quote from Charlie Pepez, as a matter of fact. What I was thinking, what was interesting being out there was how the slow food movement and the craft beer movement have really kind of evolved along similar lines. They've both become very global phenomena. We're talking about, you know, across the U.S. where, you know, brewers in all different states are, you know, making, you know, just incredible beer now. But it's really become a global movement, as we've seen in Italy and, you know, in Asia, South America, other parts of Europe. Yeah. Mr. Pazian, he kind of gave the Italian brewers for the credit to the first to embrace the innovation of American brewers. And he said, but they took American, Belgian, German influence and created their own. I call them the poets of beer.
Beautiful. All right. Hey, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
Poets of beer.
You're listening to Sweet Talk by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're at Roberta's in Bushwick. Come check it out. It's more than pizza. In fact, there's like a two-star restaurant called Bianca in the backyard here. So we're having a great time. I'm going to hang out tonight with at least six guys from Italy, all Carabiera del Borgo, two guys from Complex, Ale Street News, Private Tap, Chris Sachs just walked in, and Michael Opolensky from B United. Michael, you're the real story, dude. I mean, you're an American guy. You went to school in Italy, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I was there for 3.5 years. That's really how I started discovering beer in general. My background in beer really started in Italy, a funny place for it to begin, but through Italy, then I got connected with B United, and I've been working for the importer ever since.
Well, it's great. You get to hang out with cool guys. And Leo, what I love about you, man, is that you're so down to earth, but you're a star. I mean, you're the brewer behind Birreria, the Italy's,
yes,
you know, brewery in New York. I mean, that's pretty huge.
Yes, there is. We made different things with our friendship, and so with San Calagione from Dogfish and from Teo from Le Baladin, it's another Italian brewery. We made different projects in collaboration. One is a Birreria. Birreria is just this place. It's a rooftop brewery. This is just in Manhattan, and it's pretty nice because we try to make an infusion from the different cultures in brewing. I mean, the Italian culture, our philosophy in Birra del Borgo and the Baladin philosophy, and we try to make it just this kind of beer. And that's nice because next Friday we are going to brew a crazy beer that we are just using the yeast taken from the wasp from an Italian researcher that make a great interesting research on it, on the evolution of the yeast, and they found that the wasp and the harnet were just the really freighter of ancient yeast. And so they isolated this yeast inside the wasp and the harnet, and that we are using that for making this beer next Friday.
Sounds like you're making bees. I'm like, yeast inside the hornet. That's why you need Michael, right?
Yeah, that's right.
and your friend Luciani is your communications director. I just want to say hello on the air.
Hello, everybody.
You don't speak too much English, do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
And I'm following you.
Oh, very good. Okay, maybe I don't. I don't know. So, Tony, the quick wrap-up, Salon de Gusto, tell us a couple more things about Ale Street News. You got your trip to Belgium coming up?
Yeah, we're busy planning our trip. The details are on our website, alestreetnews.com. We already have a number of people signed up, a lot of repeat people. We have new people as well. We're going to be touring in the northwestern part of Belgium, primarily Flanders area, Bruges, Brussels. And we're going to what is a new festival for us. It's the Tournai Beer Festival. And we're going, instead of the beginning of March, we're going at the end of March. So we actually leave on St. Patrick's Day, so, and return on the 24th of March.
All right. And Chris Saxman, your Private Tap, your very interesting website about beer. Tell us a little bit about Private Tap.
Well, sure. Private Tap was inspired by my friends and I, who realized that the craft beer revolution that's spreading across the country was really based on the strength of local communities. And the people like we have here in this room and throughout New York, they're making great beer and are want to get close to the people that drink that beer. And then the people that serve it, and that those three components, the people who make the beer, the people that the bar owners and purveyors who serve it, sell it and serve it, and those of us who all enjoy it, are really one big community. And we wanted to build a website devoted to local communities based around craft beer. We've started here in New York. We've got a great following. Jimmy's been a great friend. In fact, you can see Jimmy's, he's our newest writer, newest contributor at Private Tap with his, we're calling it Cooking with Jimmy, because as well as being one of the great beer connoisseurs, Jimmy really knows his food. He knows how to cook his food. And we won't, fortunately this is radio.
We're all sitting here naked with our shirts off. Well, it's because we just traded shirts. Like last weekend, Michael brought Jerome Rabatez from BFM was at Jimmy's, and we traded shirts. And now I got the Birra del Borgo shirt, so we're taking off our shirts. And it's like a soccer game, you know. When Italy comes to America, we trade shirts. So this is I have to say, listeners, you know what the show's like. Well, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got like 9 people in the room, and there's 4 Italian guys waiting outside to come in, and they're all waiting to have dinner. So we're going to have the best dinner tonight. And if you're out at Roberta's, I would say join us. It's been a great show so far. I want to kind of hanker in on something. I'm bringing the same point up. Last week we talked about contract brewing, and it's so good. Earlier we talked to Patrick Rue from the brewery, and then we've got Leo here from Beer del Borgo, both of whom own their breweries and are doing it hands-on and experimenting. And Chris, I know you wanted to talk about the business of craft beer. What do you think about the difference between craft, contract brewing and, you know, small brewers?
Well, I think the at the end of the day, what I as a connoisseur of beer and somebody who's sort of explored the scene, what I find most appealing is the art that goes into the beer, kind of regardless of where or how it's made. It's the people behind the beer that are really driving the business end of this, if you will, because and that's one of the things we found is that this is, at the end of the day, artisanal business, one driven by passion and people who really enjoy what they're doing, and they want to get in front of the people that enjoy this. So it's really as much of an art form as anything. So the fact, you know, there clearly are people who build good breweries, but what I think is interesting is those artists, if you will, if you call them that, who then utilize those
breweries. Well, I'll tell you, when I have to pick a beer to sell at Jimmy's Number 43, and when we're looking at Good Beer Seal bars, you know, it's definitely like, who's making the beer? If someone's actually making that beer and we can meet the brewer or they can deliver it themselves, I'm going to choose them over someone else.
Right.
And that's what I feel like the heart of the Italian craft beer movement is, that you guys are kind of like a mix of chefs and scientists, aren't you?
That's nice, because it's I think a brewing, it's like to be a chef. You can combine whatever you want and you can create really, really very, very interesting stuff. And this is very important. I'm not so sure that contract brewers can do the same, because it's the difference in having the brewery, it's just that one. You can really brew, and you can really stay on the beer and on the combination of all ingredients and all things around. So that's the
great. Michael, what's this last beer that you pour? Because I've had many of Beer del Borgo beers, right, same as I've had many of the brewery beers, and there's, with these so many great small craft breweries, every beer can be so different, and that's what I love about it. It's so much variety. I can have a good night where I start with a Pilsner and go to an IPA, and at the end of the night I want something really interesting and more complex.
Sure. Well, the beer that we just, the third beer in the line was called the Etrusca. It's a collaboration between the Birra del Borgo in Lazio, also Birra Baladen. They're from the Piedmont region in Italy, and then the Dogfish Brewery in Delaware. The history behind this beer is quite complex. In fact, I think I have to leave it to Leonardo to explain exactly the ingredient list and how they came up with the recipe. The idea was they all brewed the same recipe, each fermented the beer in different fermentation vessels, and then the final product is really how the fermentation continued in those vessels. Do you want to give us the list of ingredients?
Yes. We made this collaboration beer, and we had also the help from the molecular archaeologist Dr. Patrick McGovern from Philadelphia, and we are just looking to the ancient fermented beverage in the Etruscan times in the Italy. And so we discovered that there were some many different kind of fermented beverage made by honey, pomegranates, raisin, and different cereals, and also the use of also tree raisin inside. And so we try to remix all these ingredients, and we try to remake all this beer. And the difference, the recipe is the same from all the three different breweries, and we fermented in terracotta amphoras, Baladen fermented in a wooden barrel, and Dogfish fermented in bronze vessel. So the difference pretty interesting, because we use also the same yeast. The yeast is provided from the same guy, from the wasp yeast, but it's an Italian researcher, and this find this kind of yeast is pretty ancient. It's considered like the yeast itself, it's not ancient, but could be considered like very, very ancient yeast in Italy, and typical from the area of the Etruscan area. So why we call that Etrusca. And that's nice, because the difference between the three different beers from the three different breweries, it's very, very interesting, because, for example, in the bronze you have a much more the sweet character from the honey, and a little bit of sourness coming from the use of the pomegranates and also the use of the yeast. And, for example, in our beer you have a lot of sourness coming from the oxidation, and also a lot lot of minerality notes, salty notes coming from the use of terracotta. And Baladin, you have the influence of the wood that gave a special character too. So that's really interesting. I make the same beer with the same recipe, but three different containers can do really three different things.
It's amazing.
This one's going to be coming out in the U.S. in probably around March. We're working on the import approvals now, along with the Baladin version, so hopefully we can taste them in the market soon. And the very last beer that we just poured from Del Borgo is the 25 Dodici. This is their winter special, or their Christmas beer, if you will. The style here would be like a Belgian dark ale,
yes.
Brewed with bitter orange peel. Very light and refreshing for a 9% beer. It actually drinks pretty light for the ABV.
So, Leo, you brought, unfortunately, some of your guys are outside, not in here. So, the guys that you brought, who are they? Tell us their names and what do they do?
Yes, there is Paolo and Alfredo that cares about all the sales, and there is Marco, it's our graphic designer on the labels. And there is
and who makes the beer?
Who makes the beer? Andrea is making the beer in Rome.
And they get to travel. Chris and Ross, any questions you want to ask?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us here probably encountered Italian beer through Italy, and so the collaboration was a good idea. I think it's introducing a lot of people to Italian beer, and you know, but I don't like to stereotype it. I get the sense from some of your beers, and the you know the other Baladin stuff that I've had at Italy that. There's this subtlety, and it makes sense when you talk about drinking these beers with food. There are more, you know, it's not about being a hop bomb, obviously. And I've used a lot of your beers to kind of try to convert my girlfriend into a beer drinker and other friends of mine who say, you know, I don't like beer, I don't like hops. And they do have something else going on. You know, it's not always the same thing, but it's definitely their subtlety or their sourness or spicing or things like that. But like any scene, is it evolving? Are people getting into hops? Do you see that being on the horizon? I know it's not a hop growing country, but do you see that becoming something that is more popular?
Yes.
Are American beers popular in Italy?
American beers are pretty popular, like the concept of the American beers. I think this is pretty important because it's not easy to find American beers in mainly in Europe, except I think four or five different breweries. But it's pretty easy to understand that the way of the American beer. So, for example, beer lovers in Italy can recognize the difference. If you talk about the Belgian beers, they can understand what to do, and the same also for the American beers. So that's pretty interesting. I think one important key is the collaboration. I know that now it's pretty trendy between brewers, but I think it's a very, very interesting and useful way to fuse the different cultures. So, for example, I know that Sam, when he's coming in Italy and he finds what happened in Italy, he said that there are many, many interesting things coming. And if it's like if you bring some of the culture that of a place and you can just combine with that, that's pretty interesting. And that's also it does also help about the culture of the beer of the brewery. I mean, for example, so we have a lot of culture about American beers in Italy, but I think Italian beers are not so popular. But we try to just also with the collaboration to give it.
Have you guys ever disagreed about the direction of a beer, or just you know, well, he had an idea and you had an idea, and
but
it
I think
wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know, but many people talks about that. But I think the most important thing is to talk about the beer and the good beer. So that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Hey Tony,
just to jump in here from Solanito Augusto, I did see a number of obviously American inspired beers, such as double IPAs, imperial stouts, which you could say that those are British inspired, even some fresh hop beer, and then the Baladin Brewery, I believe they're making a beer that they want to source all the ingredients from Italy, and hops are hard to find, but they're doing a hop project with, I believe, the university in Torino for hop growing in Italy. So,
all right. And Chris Saxman, anything you want to say before we sign out?
Well, yeah, actually, from what I've heard, the Italian brewing scene, and I'd be interested in your perspective, is different than what you find in other European countries, because it's becoming creative, it's burgeoning, it's not sort of tradition based as evidenced by some of these collaborations and elsewhere. Could you just comment a little bit on how you see the Italian brewing scene as it is today versus other European countries and why you think that has developed?
I think the most interesting stuff, it's just when, for example, Belgian brewers or German brewers approach to the Italian beers, because they think that it's a sort of, not to say exactly in English, but it's like an inferiority complex about the Italian brewers between the traditional German or Belgian breweries. But when they approach it, I think 10 years ago was just to say, well, what are they doing there? It's stupid things. But now they're just looking to us because we're saying, oh, interesting. What this kind of new stuff? And it's pretty interesting because, for example, you have many different breweries in Italy, and as Tony said, there are many breweries that are really, really inspired by the American beers, but there are many, many breweries that go on style, totally on style. So, for example, when I say before, the use of the combining the wine techniques, for example, the wine mass is pretty common to be used, or ingredients like chestnut or ingredients like special kind of cereals. But the use of the ingredients doesn't make, for example, like the IPA all quite similar beer, but just go to a different diversity. And I think that's the most important stuff. So, and it's another important thing, it's there are many Italian breweries now, they're just trying to use also wild fermentation. But wild fermentation is not always looking to, for example, lambic, so really very sour. But also the use of mixed fermentation with some wild yeast gives a special character, because, for example, you have a lot of interesting microflora in Italy. And if you go to the, for example, natural cheeses, organic cheeses, you have a lot of incredible things there. And so that's another part that will be very, very interesting about the Italian movement.
And then also to pipe in on the same question that you just asked, I think one of the important things to consider is when you look at most of the other beer cultures in Europe, England, Germany, Belgium, obviously Czech Republic, you have these cultures, like Leo said, where there's a strong beer tradition there. So for a brewer to go out of that tradition, I mean, in Germany, it's very rare that it happens. They have such like strict rules and a tight box. So for a brewer to do that, it's almost looking outside the box. For a Belgian brewer to start brewing a Belgian IPA, he or she is looking out or brewing outside of the box. Or like a brewery like Thornbridge, for instance, is a little outside of the box in English brewing, just for a little bit of American style. But like in Italy, there is no real box. It's sort of an open slate. They have because there's no strong tradition there, some people more pulling from English, some people more from Belgium, some people no traditions at all, and like Leo said, trying out totally new and creative things. So having such a clean slate just leads to an incredible diversity among the breweries and the beers that are coming out of there.
And do you think that Italy is sort of leading the pack in Europe in this respect, or are there some other countries that don't have a box per se that are also innovating?
I mean, I have not traveled too much in Spain, but rumor has it that in Spain it's starting to pipe up. They're in the very young years, while Italy's been more or less having a microbrewery revolution since 1996. France as well.
Right.
But in Scandinavia, you see more of a tradition, more of an American style beers coming from Scandinavia. And there's also a little bit of history there too. But I don't exactly why they've catered more to American styles culturally, I'm not really sure.
I think we're going to have to make this show 2 hours. There's so much talent in this room. This is what I love about doing this show, is how cool it is. And it's kind of like we have extra guests and who shows up, and we've got these great journalists here. We got Private Tap, Ale Street News, Tony Forder, probably the dean of East Coast American beer magazines. You know, you've got 25 years now.
Thank you, Jimmy. Very kind of you. No, we just going into that 21st year, actually. So we're going to be legal this year.
And you got you got your special cartons, right? You got your own little company.
Yeah, we partnered up with Luke Dalby from the UK, and a new kind of take-home device, which his father's been selling these to pubs in England for quite some time. But he found that that version didn't really work over there, so Crafty carton has been completely retooled. It's going to be
So it's like a milk carton that you can fill up as a growler.
Yes, it's a 2-pint take-home device, alternative to a growler.
I got a great idea. I bet the guys at Complex, Chris and Ross and First We Feast, are going to come up with some kind of challenge to get people to get your Crafty carton and fill it up with beer. and have some fun, right, Chris?
Yeah, and then
why not
do something crazy? And take
sounds
a,
good.
Take
and you guys are doing such cool yeah. stuff. You came up with the two coolest lists ever in beer. And just tell us again what they are and your sites.
Thank you. So it's First We Feast, and it's called the United States of Beer. And what we did was took on the task of picking the one beer from every state plus Washington, D.C. that you really need to try right now.
Yeah, and over at complex.com city guide section, we had the 100 beers to try before you die, and we reached out to a number of restaurant bar owners across New York for their picks, as well as some of our own, and just put together a list to start you out.
And that's great. And you guys keep, you seem like you're doing beer lists every week. You guys are awesome. Everyone in this room is awesome. Luciana, I want you to say, you're the communications director for Birra del Borgo in Lazio. What do you have to say about your brewery?
No, I just wanted to go back to Etrusca, if you allow me. And I wanted to point out that I was the person who had to deal with Italian archaeologists. And I had to ask them about information, you know, about ingredients, or asking permission to go visiting the places. And it was really hard to let them understand what we wanted to do. And they didn't believe me at all when I told them that I was working for a brewery. So they thought that we are crazy.
Struggle.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to do a sign-off here. We've got next week we'll be airing a pre-recorded episode. Tony McGee, the founder of Lagunitas Brewing, will be on our Christmas show next week, December 18th. Please check it out. And support Long Island brewers involved in the Sandy Relief. They'll be talking about that as well. And Josh Bernstein, our good friend, has launched a new app, Craft Beer New York. So there's a lot
He's
of things
busy,
going on.
Busy guy.
He's very busy. A lot of things going on. Check out goodbrewstill.com to learn more. And we've launched tickets. The New York City Beer Week, which is the what was New York Craft Beer Week, is happening in February. And our tickets, New York City Brewer's Choice, Dave Broderick and I, Dave's out there curating some of the top brewers in America. And they'll be at City Winery February 27th. You can get tickets at goodbrewseal.com. All right. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who have helped bring this podcast to you tonight. You can always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter is cool. It's @beer_sessions, but we're having some fun with that tonight. Thanks to Tony, Chris. I'm going to say the name. Some of you are here and some of you won't. It's Tony, Chris, Ross, Chris, Leonardo, Luciano, Michael, Nico, Tyler, and Patrick for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, and especially our engineer, Joe Galarraga. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.